Windows at the expense of some compatibility with hardware keyboard hacks. Two other minor differences, the 64 Ultimate has a built-in speaker for disk drive sounds, whereas the Ultimate 64 just provides you a header to install your own speaker. One other change is that there's a 3.5-inch jack here for your SID audio output, whereas this machine just has a pin header for you to install your own jack or do something else with. So, small differences there. All right, next, let's take a look at the Bling Board 64. Now, as I said before, I've been waiting 2 years for this campaign, but the keyboard has existed in some form since well before that as a prototype. What we've got here, okay, we've got some clear keycaps, cool. We've got some translucent black keycaps, that'll give us some options. We've got some red translucent function switches, keys rather, and some blue translucent function keys. Now, I should point out that these keycaps are not compatible with the Commodore 64 keyboards. These are only for the mechanical switches that are used in this keyboard. We've got a custom cable here for the Commodore 64 keyboard interface. We've got, these are called the Razzle LEDs. We've got a rectangular one for the 64C case and a round one for the 64 bread bin case, and these are full RGB LEDs, so we can control the color of the power LED. We've got the keycap puller, a screwdriver, and the logic board that controls the keyboard, as well as provides USB Bluetooth and the LED control for the keyboard. Two boxes of Gateron key switches. And we've got some posts. These are the space bar and maybe enter key stabilizers. We've got a clear frame for the keyboard. And still taped inside the box. Maybe I can sneak it out the side here. Yeah, there we go. We've got a black plastic frame for the keyboard. And here is the keyboard itself. Now, I purchased the kit for the Bling Board 64, which means I have to assemble it myself, but the capacitors and LEDs for each of the keys is already installed on the board, so that work has already been done. I just need to install the key switches.
While we're on the subject, the keyboard was also designed to be used in a standalone case called the Bling Box. It has both wired and wireless interfaces and can be used to replace a missing SX64 or 128D keyboard. It can also be used as a standalone device over USB or Bluetooth with things like the Vice Emulator or Mr. FPGA. Pretty cool!
Alright, before we build this thing, I gotta talk about the elephant in the room, and that is how the Indiegogo campaign went down. A lot of folks, myself included, were not happy with the fact that we backed this keyboard 2 years ago, and then 6 months before we were shipped our product, it was used as the basis for the Commodore 64 Ultimate. Now, some people still haven't even received their keyboard yet, and we're watching as the people who bought the Commodore 64 Ultimate got theirs and were playing with theirs, and those of us who put the money up for this product hadn't received anything yet. And yes, I know this existed as a prototype before anybody sent in any money, and that we were waiting again on the keycaps, but myself and a lot of other people were really kind of disappointed how that all went down. So, you know, it's kind of left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. Now, that said, I'm still excited to build this thing, so let's get going. All right, the Blingboard 64 is looking really good now, but let's test it out and make sure everything works. And to do that, I'm going to connect USB power to the control module here. And now I'll power it up while holding Shift Lock and D to enter diagnostic mode. And here, all the keys are lit up and we can type on each key and it will turn green as it registers. So we know that all of our soldering work and the control board are all functioning properly. Huh. All right, well, the spacebar is not functioning properly. Everything else seems to be working. All right, let's check that out. Well, I think I found the problem. I don't know if you can see that or not, but I never soldered the spacebar into place. So let me do that right now and we'll be on our way. All right, let's try this again. There we go. All the keys have turned green. We are good to go. The last piece of the puzzle is the case, and I backed this Indiegogo campaign from Retrofusion a little over 2 years ago in June of 2024. And what we've got here is a high-quality reproduction with UV-resistant plastics, brass screw inserts, various color options, and accessories. And you can tell that they've done a lovely job here. This is a very nice box. The packaging is really nice. And over here on the back, it tells us that it's compatible with the original Longboard 64s, the 64C shortboards, the Ultimate 64, which is what we're going to use it for, and the Evo 64, which is another reproduction board that I've used in the past as well. Inside the box, we have some literature here. That's interesting. Another Legend will return in 2025. Now, this project was from
coming through each and every day. Rejoice, good sirs, the spring 2026 anime season is now officially dead and buried. I know the way this usually works is that right about now people are more interested in the new debuts for the summer season, but I think there is value in looking back on the shows that once held that spot and seeing how well those initial predictions panned out. Hype and promise can only get you so far after all, and now that everything is said and done, I think it's fitting to submit my own thoughts into something more permanent for anyone who wasn't there in the moment. Also, it gives a good excuse to actually talk about shows I enjoyed watching for once. Overall, I think spring 2026 was a very crowded season for anime, and one that you'd be hard-pressed not to find something that resonated with you within. There maybe wasn't as many truly elite shows as other seasons had offered, but I think it's still a season that in finding that happy medium is one that people will look back on quite fondly. Now, full disclosure, I wasn't so psychopathic as to watch and finish literally everything that aired this season. However, I think at least covering that which I did watch is better than nothing, and also serves as a half-decent record of what the season was like for me at least. You might disagree, but that's what the comments are for. In total, I watched 11 shows this season, timestamps for which will be in the description. I'll be going over them alphabetically, and while I will try my best to avoid hard spoilers for the contents of the shows themselves, any content in prior seasons of the shows shown here is fair game, so you have been warned. Anyway,